Well, the music has changed, and so has our guest. Welcome to the GWB podcast. I'm Nikhil Rabindra, and this week is a fun one. My guest, Jinesh, and I go way back and actually had a very difficult time trying to speak for so long without swearing or giggling too much. As always, I got to learn new things about someone I've known for so long, and I loved it. Hopefully, you enjoy the conversation. And now, let's get started with our podcast. I have a very old dear friend of mine. I say old because I've known him from lower kindergarten in Bishop Cottons all the way till 12th standard and beyond. So I'd like to introduce Dr. Jinesh Babu, who is a leading dental entrepreneur, if I can say that. But let me introduce him and let him introduce himself. Welcome to the show, Jinesh.
Thank you, Nikhil. Pleasure being on the show with you. And like you said, yeah, we go way back to kindergarten, and that journey is continued till 12th, and it's been more than I think 28 years since we know each other.
Yeah. And then Jinesh, just I know what you do, but why don't you tell everybody what you're up to these days?
So I run a clinic called the House of Dentistry, and it is primarily in Sadashiv Nagar, Bangalore. So we set up this clinic around 4 years back, and just after my postgrad, mainly to provide some sort of quality service and focusing on digital dentistry, where me and my wife have started up. So even she's a dentist. So yeah, primarily a dentist trying to fix people's teeth.
Oh, perfect. That's you're just being very humble about just trying to fix people's teeth, but starting your own business, mixing business with pleasure. All that is, it's all very brave things to do. So we'll come to that in our conversation. But let's go back to the beginning and the purpose of this podcast. So this podcast is called the GWB podcast because it is, the GWB stands for the General Workbook. Now, the General Workbook, yes, if you remember what it was, is what many other schools would call a rough book, but we had a fancy word for it. And that is probably the only book where every other notebook, you had to follow the same notes and write the same thing. This was the only one book where you could do what you wanted with it. So it had your personality in it. So what was written in your book?
So and let's say initially, yeah, it was probably one of those books where, you know, when a substitute teacher comes in and we enter notes, whatever they teach and go. And as years go by, I mean, even 11th and 12th, I used to carry one book. So you could say that my GWB book was my only book for 11th and 12th, where all the subjects were in one book.
Well, you know why I'm asking you this? Because actually you're the, for me, maybe till 10th or so, I carry different notebooks. In 11th, I think I almost wanted to tell my parents, why are you buying all these extra books? We don't need it. We can just use the GWB, yeah. Because I did the same thing. Yeah. The joke is, depending on which direction you open the book, it becomes a different subject. It was a magic book.
True.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
And if you remember that we used to draw this graph during physics, so I'm not taking names, but
the physics teacher, the physics teacher of You know what's funny? I have already made this joke in another episode, and that person was not in our class, so he didn't laugh.
We had different subjects in one book, and over a period of time, when the notes started piling up, even per subject was it was reaching the other subjects' department, and it was all getting overlapped.
It was crossing borders.
Yeah.
No, but okay, so 11th and 12th, we used it for the same reason. And probably 11th and 12th was the only time that book was somewhat corrected by not using names, but the physics teacher. because we have an amazing punishment story, which I think we'll come back to later. But
of course, of course.
Yeah. One of the punishment stories. But going back to, let's say, so you joined in LKG with me, LKGB. We finished in 12A.
Yes.
Right. Mary Sigamani was our LKG
teacher. Class teacher.
And yeah. Mrs. Washington, I forget her first name, but...
Yeah, I was going to say Denzel Washington. But
no, Washington. No. You know, and then, of course, the legendary Mr. Christopher Thambidurai was our class teacher in 12A. So we have...
11th and 12th, yeah.
So, if let's go back... I mean, so let's go back to your earlier times when you used the GWB, where you did something creative with it. Creative can be not like, doesn't have to be drawing. It could have been tearing a sheet to make a ball out of it to play football. It could be anything. What was your way of using the book?
So back probably, you know, junior or middle school, we mainly used to use it at the last few pages to make drawings of teachers and, you know, playing all that nuts and crosses and the dotted games. So those are the main things that we used to use it for. Notes as such, I barely made any. I used to just fake like I'm writing it, and only if the teacher is coming close by, we start to write, take a fresh page and start writing. Otherwise, if you actually flip the pages, there's nothing. So it's mainly empty. Just the last few pages and the first few pages will be a little bit of written and scribbled. But yeah, this was mainly my GWB book.
Okay, mine was also similar, where like the last few pages was games for sure. And what are the games you played? Was it Nuts and Crosses? Of course, that's the easy one. But was there like other ones? Anything else you played?
I mean, I don't remember the games where, you know, you draw those dots and then you try to make a box out of it and write your name.
We used to call it dots.
And then, of course, you have Flames. Probably after middle school. So Flames was there.
Flames in an all-boys school was actually very interesting. Correct, no. By the way, like we're saying Flames, let me explain Flames. So how do you explain Flames? You basically take, nowadays LGBTQ, if I say correctly. So you take your name and a person of interest, a romantic interest, and their name, write one above the other, and then you cancel all the common letters.
That's the way.
All right. And then
the math and eliminating that.
Wait, one second. Now, Flames, explain. There are rules here. No, let's talk about that. You're counting all the common letters which have cancelled, or what is left?
Only what is left.
Okay. Now, explain the next part. So, Flames, right? So, by the way, what does Flames stand for you? That's also different for everybody.
So, I think F was friendship, L was love, A was what? Arranged marriage.
Arranged marriage. Ours was affection.
It was affection. M was marriage.
M was marriage.
E was enemies. S was what was this? S was sex.
No, but some people are like full classy. You know, they're like S is soulmate. It seems. I'm like, hey, get lost.
No. So it's for sex, yeah.
Okay, now we'll not do Flame for you and your web because marriage has happened, okay? Because Flame is such an interesting thing. Everybody played. Who taught you Flames?
I don't remember who taught me, but I just landed up. Someone taught me, I don't remember who, but he taught me the game and like, see this. So if you tell your crush's name and let's see what comes. So... I mean, like, there was very few people who we knew at that time. Hard in middle school. There's very minimal interaction with any of the opposite sex. Maybe guys, morning to night. So,
And with guys, we're drawing who you like. Yeah, yeah. And you know what used to happen if you did Flames, at that time? Because nobody has met the girl or seen the girl. No, people would just be like, if you remember, whatever name you'd have put over there, you'd be like, that's Jinesh's girl, bro. Don't touch. Yeah. You don't know who it is, but like... Everybody had ghost girlfriends, you know.
Yeah. So that was a very common thing back then.
That's awesome. Then what about, okay, so middle school we touched, but again, let's go. See, all I remember in LKG, for whatever reason, the word Babu always made me giggle a little bit. So I used to always say Jinesh Babu, and you'll always laugh back to me for no reason. That's my first memory, I think. Yeah, because we were some 3, 4 years old. All we could do at that time was just say 2, 3 words and laugh. So I remember that's all we used to do, laugh. And I think I don't have any memory of you in junior school at all. Unless we walked past each other, I would say, Jinesh Babu, you would laugh and we'd laugh and we'll continue, right? Even middle school, I don't remember you, but senior school, I have memories because we were in neighboring classes and we got punished at the same time. But
Correct.
what
Yes.
happened in junior school for you?
So, I mean, like in junior, I think first was 1B. Yeah, 1B, and second also was 2B. Yeah. So 1B, I don't know if you remember now what is the sports complex. So there was
Yeah,
a building there.
they
There's
had,
right next to the gym,
yeah,
gymnasium next to that. There was
the
another
pool.
building. Yeah. So there was 1B and 1A were the classes, or 1C, I'm not
No,
sure.
no.
So we
Were you
were
upstairs or downstairs?
upstairs.
Ah, okay. I was 1D. I was downstairs.
Huh. So one these two classes were on the first floor, and they were right next to each other. And you know the steps, right? You can climb from both stairs, both sides, and it joins and goes up and it splits again.
Correct.
So I mean, like, I think we were like odd 50, 60 students, because that's when they all started, you know, this G, E, F, all these classes. Before it was like,
Correct,
you know,
correct.
up to D, I guess. And then all of a sudden Cotton's demand grew.
Yeah.
So they started putting more classes. And I remember once, I don't know, there was a spot in that the corridor where both the classes meet. Okay. And it had like a, you know, kind of a slippery kind of surface.
Oh,
So guys from
yes.
1B used to run and slide onto that. And guys from 1A used to run and come and slide onto this. Okay. So it came a point where, you know, it became like one territorial fight where, you know, boys from that class are coming and sliding too much to our side, and we are sliding too much to their side. So I remember clearly one lunch break, there was like a constant like back and forth. People are sliding from both sides, and then it became a proper fight. Okay. There was like half of 10, 15 kids fighting with each other, saying, "How can you come to our side?" So that was my fondest memory of first standard. And
So
apart from that,
in first standard, so you now that you said it, it's coming back to me. You guys were fighting about 1A versus 1B, who's sliding in. People from, I think you guys used to have two, three guys as security guards on the stairs to not allow the downstairs boys to even come upstairs to see it. I think
got it. Yes.
once or twice I tried to come up and they're like, "Hey, go get lost, man." Because because I was like, first standard was a very weird year for me. Like, I was put in the last bench, and my partner who sat next to me had very interesting fetishes. His parents used to send him a pastry, and he used to take the cream out and rub it on my thighs for no reason. I mean. Yeah, so it was bullying. Like, I was also so dumb and so scared. Not dumb, dumb is a strong word. I was so scared that I would get lost. You know, like, for me, what used to be an adventure, you leave the class, you know, those bamboo tree areas right near the basketball court.
Where we used to sit. Yeah.
For me, like, if I made it till there to eat food and come back, means I was like, whoa, today I did something adventurous. So, but once in a while, I'm like, what's happening upstairs? I tried to go upstairs to see what's happening, and one of your guys were like, "Hey, we're playing here. You don't come."
So, I mean, that was mainly first. And apart from that, I think I used to take part a lot into, you know, running race and stuff. So all that 100 meter, 200 meter and all that stuff were there.
When did that start for you? Were you always into sports from the beginning, or was there a day you realized that
So, I
I'm
mean,
good at it?
since kindergarten, my parents just put me into sports. So I was good at running. So I used to win some stuff there. And I remember getting that small tiny trophy, I think first time for running race or something, which I've still kept it
Oh,
safely.
yeah.
And first, I think there was this different divisions and all, right? So E, H and all that kind of division. So in junior school, I remember S division was
Bad boys.
the most difficult and
Oh.
the most toughest the office group. So we always used to end up in some H division or I division or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was like if you remember my cousin Rohit. So yeah. We were the guys who were always running. And that was mainly first. Second was, I think towards that kindergarten, there was another building, right?
Ah, okay. See, again, I was in 2A, which was downstairs, which is like not, it was behind, it was almost behind the school hall, literally attached to the kindergarten on the bottom. So like, again, same.
Basically thing. That corridor, right?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Got it. So 2B was, that lady's name was Christina, if I'm not wrong, the class teacher. And memories as such, I think Rohit was in my class. So that happened to be the only class where we got together.
Yeah. Rohit is your cousin, Rohit Menon, right? So just
in my class.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in my class. That was the only class we went together. And I think seventh also we went together. And apart from that, memory as such, I don't really recollect much happening in second standard.
Can I ask you a question here? Like, you say your class teacher's name is Christina. Is there a chance that your class teacher changed halfway through the second standard?
Second standard. No, I don't think she changed. She was there.
Okay, because I'll tell you what happened. Okay, this goes back to my GWB story one time. So,
okay.
My class teacher was first person, but I think she was unwell and maybe passed away also. But we got a second class teacher named Christina.
I think something like this happened. Yes.
She became our class teacher later. That's what I'm saying. See, that's what I'm saying is coming back. Now, I'll tell you one funny thing, which again, going back to GWB. So again, I am one groundbreaking trendsetter, right? So I stopped writing notes at that time only. So, So like usually like they would start correcting notebooks and all that. I never submitted it. I'd always, you know, I'll either like fake like I'm giving my book or something, or I'll walk up with my one book and like simply place it and take it back or whatever it is. I've never submitted a book too many times. So at that point, she was already stressed. She was balancing two classes or whatever not. And that time they used to have these random checks. Like basically supervisor or princi will send someone and be like, get 5 books from this subject from this class. I want to see how the kids are doing. Okay.
I remember this. Yeah.
Right. Random check used to happen. I was trained for that. Now when I land in America, they do that for me just because how I look. But random check. That random check used to happen even then. Okay. So one day she got news about this random check. So she said, I have to check everyone's books for the today so that tomorrow she won't get into trouble. So that time I can't escape. Okay. So she's like, Nikhil, show your book. I said, ma'am. Okay. I said, I didn't bring it. Show your other book. I didn't bring that. Show this book. I went, bring your bag here. I showed all the books were there. They were empty. She said, call your mother tomorrow morning. I'm like, oh shit, I'm in trouble. What do I do? Because I was more scared that she'll give me someone else's book and have to write a whole year's notes in there. Okay. You know what she told my mom? Next day, she come. I found whichever God was there. I prayed. My mom went and came back. My mom comes back and she's like, what did you do? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, and I said, what did she say? She said, principal is coming for these surprise checks every day. Your son has no books written. If you don't mind, can you ensure not to put any of those books in his bag every day? Don't bring the books on.
Yeah, obviously, otherwise he'll get fired.
Yeah. And I was like, now you are my favorite teacher. You understand it.
Yeah. So this, when you told me about this check, I remembered one thing. So, I mean, supervisor, I'm sure you remember her. So, she, principal, they're all, my dad used to know them. So, they used to always, keep a close eye on what I'm up to and, keep giving updates like, your son is doing this, that, and all.
Mm.
So, back in, I think, kindergarten, she used to always take my book and show it to all the staff over there saying, like, this boy has such wonderful handwriting. Okay. So, someone put Kann on my handwriting after that. So, after that, handwriting is a bit of hopeless. Okay.
Listen,
I remember this.
you needed a bad handwriting to become a doctor, no? To write prescriptions. Go on, go on.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I remember this surprise check, and she invariably took my notes. And luckily, I had written that because I think that was math. So I was fond of math. So it was there. And she had shown it to the supervisor. And then she's like, what happened to this boy? Her handwriting was so good. Now it's become bad and all that shit. So I knew that, yeah, this EW thing, we had to keep it up to date. Otherwise, the news is going to go to my dad. So I think in junior school, I used to keep a good tab on it. Middle school, I just like, leave it. Now we're done. But anyway, she left. So I was like, okay, now I have more freedom.
That's the other disadvantage, right? Because your family knew the school leadership and everything else, like everything would go back and forth. For me, like, yeah, for me, unless I did something very good or very bad, I would, my parents would like barely like know the teachers.
Third, actually, I remember most of, because I'm sure you remember Faizan, pretty gross Faizan, goes into drones and stuff.
Yes.
So, again, back to sports. So, heats was happening where you have to basically do trials, you know, to get selected for the final race and stuff. So, that was happening. And I think the first time we ran 200, Faizan was running with me. And all these years, I was running with that, you know, that white canvas shoes.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So, third standard, I you know, we got an upgrade, went to that Olympia Sports on Double Road. Got a spike shoe, and also I was full fascinated. I was like, okay, now I'm going to become like Usain Bolt. No one's going to catch me. Start running. 2 seconds afterwards, Faizan, who also has spikes, he trips and he tears the entire shoe off mine. So that shoe lasted for like half a day.
Oh, then you would have gotten beaten up for someone else's fault at home for breaking your shoe, no?
Actually, not really, because I told him that this is what happened. But then Faizan was wearing specs, so you know, I got a little silent and I hit him. So his specs broke. So that was one of the first specs of his I broke. And I think I broke another 3 or 4 of his during third standard. So whenever I meet him, he keeps telling me, like, bro, you broke so many of my glasses. What did it do about you?
Imagine you, instead of dentistry, you had done ophthalmology, you would have given him free treatment for life then.
Yeah.
House of Dentistry is a one-stop solution for all your dental needs, with a complete digital dentistry system allowing you to experience a full range of dental care, making your visits short and pleasant. With a fully equipped setup, utilizing all the recent technology and a well-trained team of professionals, they have been able to provide the best dental care available in the heart of Bangalore. They are situated in Sadashiv Nagar with a team of 16 doctors and assistants. Come visit House of Dentistry today. And now, back to your podcast.
And one more was, so third time was the first time I actually bunked a class, you know. So how it works, like, when they say you have heats and you need to go for trials, so I used to tell, like, Pedigree House has their training going on, so I used to bunk. So, you know how the bunking was. So the class, you remember, right? It's I think it was on the ground floor of that building. So I was just seeing where the heats are happening. So basically nothing was happening. It was being cancelled because of Kalvin and Shield or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they were preparing the pitch for the match. And then, so my brother was there. So he was in March Past. So he was just conducting March Past for Pedigree House. And then he saw me. He's like, what are you doing? So I told him, I'm going for heats. He's like, no, it's cancelled. Go back to class. So I was like, okay. And then my friend, I don't remember who that was. He's like, bro, let's not go back to class. Let's just roam around here. So that was like officially first time of bunking. Okay. So I was like, okay, fine. Let's see what happened. And then I get caught by who? Christina, the same lady, second standard. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she was in charge, I think, of some of the house. And then she saw me and she recognized, like, what are you doing around here? I was like, nothing. I'm going for AIDS. She like, no, AIDS is canceled. Go back to class. Okay. So she told that, and still this brother is like, okay, let's go to that fourth standard block side.
Mm-hmm.
We're roaming around there. And then the son, supervisor caught us.
Oh, God.
Then she called my dad and, you know, she told, like, my son is bunking, this, that, and all. So dad, he came to school. She blasted me in front of all the other students. Like, what is this? Sending him to school to study and this and that. Made me buy shoes. You tore that. So this is where the part of getting belted comes.
That was the first time you got belted for something in school that you can remember.
I mean, like he shouted at me in school, but then at home he went and he told my mom, like, so what your son is doing, what you know, bought him shoes for this or what and all that. So yeah, that was the backlash of the tone spikes.
Amazing. So good. Okay, it's junior school. We did that. I mean, so like, we'll instead of going one year at a time, let's change it up a little bit here, right? So let's the things which are, again, like, the focus of this conversation is a little more about, I always say this, that it's more about what we didn't have in common rather than what we had in common, which, I mean, I'm sure which is what we're doing, right? So let's talk about, how did you commute to school every day? Was it like your parents dropped you, or was it like an auto, a bus, a van? What was it?
So, right from LKG, I think, till seventh, school bus was allowed. So, I used to primarily travel by school bus.
What was your bus number?
3 days of every.
What was your bus number?
I think bus number was number one till, I think, third standard.
But one went to Jayanagar, no?
So one was Jayanagar and JP Nagar till third standard. Okay. After that, JP Nagar and Banargatta became another bus. So that was bus number two.
Okay. Bus number one was the big bus, right? The biggest bus we had.
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the bus.
Okay, yeah,
So we were in bus number two, and I think in sixth, I shifted from JP Nagar to HSR. So then bus number became four, and that was there, I think, till seventh. And after 7 years, I mean, you're not allowed to travel by school bus unless you have some special permission. So then we, I think, eighth and half of ninth, we went by this one, private van. And then 9 and 10, I think, was 9, 10, and 11 was PMTC, because there was a bus stop right in front of my house. That takes you right to school's bus stop. And it was fairly peaceful. And then 12th, I had two-wheeler.
But in 11th also, you took someone else's two-wheeler, apparently, right?
No, that was the 12th.
Can you don't use names again, but just tell me that story first before we come back to school buses.
So, I mean, like, one day randomly, Sinjan and I were sitting. And so this lady, she's like, class is done and y'all can go back. And she's like, Sinjan, stay back. And Sinjan stays back. So we went, and we were sitting in class. I think it was physics or something. In almost 10, 15 minutes, Sinjan is not back. So we start making our own theories. Like, maybe she's taking extra class or something. So Sinjan then comes back full psyched and, you know, panicking. And he's like, bro, what's wrong with that lady? She's accusing me of stealing her bike and stuff. And I'm like, wait, what? And then he's like, so it seems I came in her dream and I told her that I have your bike and this is your bike number and I'm stealing it. And after that, her bike went missing today. I'm like, so basically she's accusing you because you came in her dream and she lost her bike. She's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So my initial, this one was like, he usually traveled with me on two-wheeler to school. So I was like, how come she's only targeting you and not me also? So she was like, he told that, she said that, I know you both have plotted something and stolen my bike. So I was like, why would I steal her bike? So I went to Tambi and I told that, sir, this is what's happening. And she's accusing us of stealing. So this dragged on, I think, for a day or two. And then she kept accusing him of, like, you need to give my bike back and stuff. So then I thought it's high time I have to tell my dad about this incident. So I told my dad. So that time, Prissy was Mr. Connell. So called up the son and he's like, what's happening? And she's accusing my son of stealing and this and that. So Colonel then took action, called her to the chamber, blasted her, saying, like, all this nonsense is not tolerated. So basically, how she lost the bike was she left the key on the bike and she went. So some nice man has taken the bike without any effort and the bike was stolen. And so, I mean, we were known as the kids who got her thrown out of school. So yeah, some achievement.
Like some achievement for sure. No, it will come back. We'll come back to senior school in a bit. Let's go back to your school bus. And see, I went in an auto. Auto has its own culture in there, right? So, like, the senior kids get the seat, the junior kids have to sit in that little small wooden slab at the back,
yeah,
and all that stuff, right? So, like, what was the culture in a school bus?
So, I mean, since we were traveling, since kids in the school bus, you know, we had that, you know, sort of authority that, you know, this is my bus. So anyone new coming to mess around, even if they were senior than us, we used to keep them in their place, saying that, like, bus, this is our territory. Whatever you want to do, you keep it outside the bus, not in the bus. So I think by second and third standard, we had that full back row. So there were two rows in the back of the bus. So that was like a fully occupied bus. And then there was this whole rivalry because the bus shifted, right? So from we split from bus number one to bus number two. So there was this whole, you know, rivalry between Bannerghatta boys and Chepinagar boys, okay? Which often escalated to a match of cricket where we used to go to their place, beat them, and, you know, take pride that we came to your home ground and beat yours. So,
I'm seeing a pattern here. Territories being crossed everywhere you go.
that was our school culture, and I mean, like, that continued till I was there in the Chepinagar bus, and then when I shifted to the Koramangala one, whatever bus. So there, I mean, I could see that they were, you know, trying to maintain their territory because someone new has come. But yeah, I went in that bus for, I think, probably just 2 or 3 months. And then I switched to, so mainly because that bus never used to come to HSR. HSR was outskirts that time. They used to come to Silkboat. So I had to come to Silkboat to catch the bus. So then it made no sense. So then I switched to a private van.
And what is the difference between the culture in a private van versus a school bus?
So private van is more of a mixture. Okay, there's nothing like you have this age criteria. You get kids as young as first standard and people from ISC also coming in private van. So, you know, the mixed culture, of course, yeah. The seniority thing, what you said about the auto culture was maintained in private van where it was basically that tempo traveler, the shorter one, not the big one.
Matador,
so Matador had at the back. It was three wooden slab road rows where all the, you know, junior school and middle school kids used to sit. And then in the center there were two like, you know, cushion seats. So that is where the senior guys used to sit. So rather than when, you know, one IC guy leaves, then probably the next senior most takes that position. And the job of that guy was basically to open the door and close the door.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that was more of a private van culture. And I think there was just two other kids from Cotton Girls. And one was one small, I think, some third standard kid. And another was one of the sisters of one student from Cotton. But yeah, they were seated in the front next to the driver. The rest were all boys.
Nice, nice. Yeah, like the guy who opened and closed the door. I think also because you all had, he also had that second job of almost doing valet service in a way, because like you have to, like, you don't sit with your bag, no, you have to keep it, your bag and your basket, you have to keep it somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like you get down and then he has to like give you your bag and basket and then you can go home, right? That's kind of the other job he had.
Yeah, that is for the tiny ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Like first and second standard for them, yeah.
No, I remember that. In the auto also same thing. Like they'll basically if you're tiny enough, you get down first, then they said we'll give you your bag, don't worry.
Yeah. And one more thing about private man was I think it was World Cup year or something, cricket. So there was a lot of hand cricket happening on a daily basis. So travel time was like what, 30-40 minutes to school every day.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, as soon as the vehicle starts getting packed, you know, we start having our own World Cup in the private van, where everyone's playing against each other and finally someone wins. So that often, most often I used to at least come to the final four, sometimes win, sometimes lose. But yeah, I was always consistent in winning and cricket in the private van.
That would have been 6th or 7th only. But I mean, whatever, 2003 was the World Cup. Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember that. 7th, probably, yeah. Oh, good, good. Okay, so travel was an interesting thing because, like, for me, yeah. So I lived before I lived in Langfurton, I lived in Banshankri. So that time I used to get dropped by my parents first, but then I went in the auto for some time. And
Okay.
auto, like, yeah, like same hierarchy and all that. But at one point, yeah, as always, I think I was bullied a lot more, right? So, like, starting from, I told you, the cake cream on my thighs versus these guys also, like, there'll be times where, like, even though the seats are opened up, no, they, like, two guys would be like, you can't leave, you're sitting in that corner only. So I'm like, well, what is this? And then, like, they would keep bullying me. But, like, there was one girl from Baldwin's, like, senior to me, who was
Okay.
noticing this, and she went and sneaked to her father that these two boys are bullying me. And then one day she made the auto man stop, called her father out. Her father told the auto guy that these auto guy is in the auto seeing all this happening, okay? But once the father has told the auto man this bo these boys are bullying this boy, he started belting those two in front of them over there. And I'm like, oh, this is even worse. Then they come back crying and they're like, you see what we'll do to you next. And I went home. I'm like, mom, please take me out of this auto. I'm gonna die tomorrow.
The only advantage for me was my brother was there, elder brother was there in school. And then Rohit also was there. So, even if anyone tried to actually bully us, we used to team up and, throw around back to
You
them.
had
So,
pull. You
in
had
that
pull.
way, pull was there. Yeah, pull was there. So, there was not much of bullying which I faced. Probably one or two guys must have tried, but it didn't really have much of an effect.
Okay, so we finished transportation. What about food? What did you bring in your lunch box?
So, majorly was, initial time was probably the junior school was more or less, bread jam and small snacks stuff. Okay, not much, not nothing much heavy because I was not much of an eater back then. Towards middle school, either mom used to prepare some rice and chicken and send it. If not, she used to give me money to have from the canteen. So I think in seventh, I think canteen was more of the go-to food. Because we were a group of, I think, six, seven boys. So what we used to do was go to canteen, with Babu's rice and chicken. So we used to order chicken for like, I think chicken was 200 rupees per plate that time. And you used to get five,
Twenty,
six
twenty,
pieces.
no, 20, no, you mean.
20, 20
Two
rupees
hundred,
and, sorry, to do 20 rupees and I think five, six pieces of chicken. So what we used to do is we used to pool in money and buy for 150 rupees and take on big plate. And rice we used to share. I think three or four people used to, for three or four plates, rice we used to. So that's what we used to do as a routine. So we used to eat a lot of chicken and our plates used to be like a mountain of bones after lunch. So that was mainly our food. And ISC, I think, used to carry. And half the time before I eat my food, the food was already empty. So,
We know all those people.
yeah. So, majorly was. I'll carry box with rice and chicken or appam chicken, chapati chicken, one of this. Some chicken has to be there for me to eat.
Protein every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was very different. I was also sandwiches. Then, like, once in a while, my mom would, like, give a curry and this and that, and I'd be like, the problem is if you come back with one half and half full box, you'll get belted. So, like, that was also a problem. So, like, what do you do?
So I used to ask her to keep less first. So like she used to keep like two or three chapatis. So I used to eat one and a half. Okay, half
Same,
will still
same.
be there.
Yeah.
So what I used to do was by compensating, I used to eat all the curry. So probably chapati or rice, I would leave it, saying that the piece got over, so I couldn't keep it.
And that brings us to the end of part one with Jinesh. Think back on what was in your lunchbox back in the day and ask your friend the same question. We have barely reached senior school in this conversation, but you can bet the next half will cover that and a lot more. Thanks for listening to the podcast and see you next week. Bye.